We're in the final day of hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, who is today out of the hot seat. Instead, we're hearing testimony from outside experts, including representatives from the American Bar Association. The association gave Kavanaugh its highest ranking when it comes to judicial temperament and professional integrity. The ABA's John Tarpley was asked this question today by Senator Lindsey Graham.
Have you ever heard the word radical used when it came to Judge Kavanaugh?
No.
Not in all of the evaluations that we've done, and we communicated with more than 100 lawyers and judges who work with him on a regular basis.
And then there's the other side. There was criticism about Kavanaugh's record. Here's Cedric Richmond, chair of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Judge Kavanaugh, who relies heavily on the same textualist reading of the Constitution employed by former Justice Scalia, possesses a conservative judicial record that leads us to believe that voting rights, education, criminal law outcomes will be greatly endangered in the coming years.
Joining us now is NPR's Scott Detrow. Scott, when you look at what we're hearing today from people who know Kavanaugh, and you pair that with what we've been hearing all this week, what kind of portrait is emerging of the nominee?
Well, it's the same split screen we've been hearing when it came to Republican versus Democratic questions on the committee hearings all week. The Republicans asking questions about his tenure as a judge, pointing to his long track record on the federal court, pointing to various extracurricular things he does that paint him as a great person. I think toward the end of the day yesterday, the entire girls basketball team that he coaches was sitting in the front row behind him. Democrats have not really disputed any of those personal characteristics of Judge Kavanaugh, but they've said they're very concerned about his track record and also the broader conservative push over the years to really create a pipeline of very conservative justices for the Supreme Court who would scale back the law on a lot of different fronts, especially when it comes to abortion rights, which is something Democrats continue to return to during the hearings.
Yeah, we heard Kavanaugh use a term that is angering some supporters of abortion rights yesterday. He was paraphrasing something that he said a religious group told him, and he referred to contraceptives as abortion-inducing drugs. Aside from that specific issue, what else are we learning about Brett Kavanaugh?
You know, I don't know that the ball moved too much in terms of what we know about his personal views or how he would rule on cases. And that's mostly because he was very careful to give very bland answers, for lack of a better word, with lots of legal details and history, but not giving personal opinions, saying he wouldn't weigh in on hypothetical issues or things that could become before the court or anything he deemed political. You know, I think one moment was when Senator Dianne Feinstein yesterday read from the text of an email that the New York Times had gotten, even though it was confidential to the committee, where during the Bush White House years, Kavanaugh had said on an email chain that some people disagree that Roe v. Wade is the settled law of the land. He said he was just pointing that out, and that is a factual statement because there are a lot of conservative legal scholars who don't think it was the right court ruling. The question that Democrats have is that his viewpoint? And there was no real evidence either way.
I wonder if you could explain, Scott, what happened with the issue yesterday with Democrat Cory Booker.
Yeah.
He seemed to be taking, yes, it might be hard to explain, but he seemed to be taking a pretty bold stance by saying he was releasing confidential papers and was risking his seat by doing so. But then word came that the papers had already been released. What was that all about?
It got very confusing, and I think it would take the rest of the show to really do the full point by point. But Booker and Democrats all week had been frustrated that, first of all, there were hundreds of thousands of pages of emails that they never saw to begin with, and then that there were a lot that they had seen but they weren't able to talk about publicly. So Booker and Democrats said, we're just going to release them ourselves to kind of underscore their frustration with the process. They did that. As you said, it turned out Republicans said, well, you could have released it to begin with. But I think the broader point is the emails that Booker did end up making public, there was nothing in any of those emails that really changed the conversation or offered a dramatic reveal about Judge Kavanaugh's time as a judge or as his time in the Bush White House.
Very, very quickly, in terms of the protesters, they had loud voices. Did they
make
an impact?
You know, I think it was telling that as the week went on, Democrats were actually voicing frustration with the protests, saying they were trying to ask tough questions and they were worried that the scene of loud people being arrested and pulled out of a room might have turned off the type of conservative or moderate voters that Democrats were trying to get a message to.
Thanks a lot. NPR's Scott Detrow, thank you.
Thank you.